Shavua Tov. We are on Daf Kaf Hei, Daf 25. We left off at the bottom of the page on 24b. Today's class should be for tonight's class should be for the Refuah Shalema V'Lachanim. V'Yichlalam Chemdan Barachom V'Chadzvena Amen Chanukah Menifka Sarab Anmanir Shalom Sarah David Menachel Yafa Bad Deborah Rifka Bad Echev Rifka Bad Aser Shalom Aser Fahim Lam Shalom Menachana Yafa Bad Miriam Yehuda Menifah Chayas Abizchon Rucham Bachana Simcha Ben Malka Miriam Bad Yochev Eliz Bar Miriam Chana Leana Bad Nomer Chol Sabat Mar Sabar Chana Gavir Gedabar Baracha Tan Ben Esther Yitzchom Menir Yaakov Demar Malka Yishom Menetar Yehuda Menifah Yosef Ben Demar Shalom Shalom Pinina Yosef Ben Yafa Daniel Ben Dinah Simcha Nafar Ben Lam Shalom Pinina Kibidu Elin Ben Miriam Gadol Shalom Shalom Menachem David Yehuda Menifka Okay, we are at the bottom of 24b. Tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, we're going to do 8 a.m. Belina there, 8 a.m. Daf in the library, Bezat Hashem. Okay, we're starting the bottom of Kafdalet Amud Bet. If you remember yesterday in the Mishnah, what we stated on yesterday's daf was if, let's say, somebody makes an exaggerated neder, what is an exaggerated neder? A neder that he says he takes upon himself something, for example, this item, this food should be forbidden to him, if he didn't see, like the people who left Egypt, or if he didn't see a snake the size of a beam that you crush olives, that you would make oil, right? So the Gemara now is going on that second part of the Mishnah. Amar le Ravina le Ravashe. Ravina comes, or it's really going on the whole Mishnah. Ravina comes and says to Ravashe, Vidilma, hai gavra, maybe that person who made that neder, kina de shum shamne chaza, maybe he saw an anthill. He saw lots of ants. He saw thousands of ants. Ve'asik lehun shema ole Mitzrayim. And he really just called them those who left Egypt. But they're not necessarily people, but maybe that's what he saw. Shapir Mishteva, and really his swear is valid. It's not a false swear, it's a real swear. So maybe it's not a swear or a neder of exaggeration, maybe it's a real swear. So flipping the Amud, the Gemara says, Amar le, ki Mishteva adata didan Mishteva. When a person swears, he swears according to our understanding of the words that he uses. Ve'anan lo maskinan nafshin ashum shamne. And he says, we don't refer to ourselves, we don't give ourselves such a name as ants. Right, so therefore, there's no way he would have called humans ants, and that's why that couldn't be. So the Gemara says, "Ve'alta den nafshe lo avid inish de mishteva." What a person! He only swears on a person's own understanding, according to his own understanding. Meaning, a person won't swear if it's not according to his own understanding. How do we know that? Ve'hatanya, we have a braita, keshehen mashbiin oto, when they make the person swear. Umrimlo, they tell him, Heve yodea shelo al tnai shebelibecha anu mashbiin otcha. It's not on the condition that's in your heart that we are making you swear. Ela al da'atenu, it's on our knowledge, on our understanding. Ve al da'at beitin, and on the knowledge and understanding of the beitin. So the Gemara says, la'apuke mai, what is that coming to exclude? Love la'apuke, is it not coming to exclude the following? The asik lehu leiskundre, that he's coming to, okay, first of all, we have to explain what the story is over here. What exactly is the example? Meaning, is he not coming to make such a swear that it's, let's give a little background before we explain this. Let's look at the Mefarish. The Mefarish says, here, lav la apuke dehiv le lebal chovo. He owes somebody money, and he gave him as kundere pispasim shemesachkikim behen. These are wood chips that people play with. Vikarawatan zuze, and he called them money. He called them coins. Ubekach rotze liftor atzmo min hashavua, and he wants to exempt himself from his swear that he owes somebody money by giving him these wood chips that he plays with. So the Gemara says, is it not talking about a case where we're excluding if somebody owes someone money and he gave him these playing wood chips, like it's called a tachtanar for that, for this term. He gave him a backgammon or something, and ve'asik lehun shema zuze, and he called it, the Gemara says, he called it coins, he called it money. So maybe a person would call something different than what we understand it to mean. You see let's just give a parable. Let's see, you see a backgammon, you see a tachtanar. Would somebody call that money? Somebody called that coins, the pieces of backgammon. No, nobody would call that, right? Okay, poker chips, right? But it's not, backgammon is not money. So if somebody calling that, that's not on our understanding, but this is what he was coming to exclude. So the Gemara then says, Umidika amar al da'atenu. From the fact that it says it's on our understanding, our knowledge, miklal de avid inish de mishneva adata de nafshe, that shows us that there is a person who would make a swear according to his own understandings of the words that he uses. But we said that a person would not make a swear on according to his own understanding of the words. Meaning a person makes a swear based on what the actual terms are, not what he understands it to mean. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not what it's saying. La apuke mikanya derava. It's coming to exclude a case of the cane from the court, from the Beit Din of Rava. What was the story? There was a story the following. Dahu gavra, there was a man, dahava masik bechavre, he owed money to somebody, zuzei, atele kamei de Rava, he came in front of Rava. Amarle, so both of them, the borrower and the lender, they both came in front of Rava. Amarle le love, he said to the borrower, the lender said to the borrower, zil parali, the person, the lender, says to the borrower, give me my money, pay me back. He lended money to this person, he didn't pay him back. So Amar Le, so the borrower says, Paraticha, says, I already paid you. Amar Le Rava, Rava says, Imken, if you already paid him, Zil Ishteva Le De Parate, swear by the Torah that you already paid him, if you already paid him. So Azal, he went, Ve'aiti Kanya, he went and brought a cane, like a cane that you walk with. Ve'yahiv zuzei begave, and there was hollow cane. So he opened it and he put coins inside the cane and he closed it. And he comes with those coins inside the cane and he gives it to the person. So he says, ve'hava mistamich ve'azil. What he was doing was he walked and he was limping, showing that he was leaning on this cane as if he needed it. Ve'ate ale, and he came with the cane, on the cane. Levei dina, to the court. Amar le malve, so he said to the lender, nekot hai kanya be'adecha, take this cane. Okay, nasav sefer Torah. He took the sefer Torah, v'ishteva de pare, and now he swears that I already paid you back. Kol ma dehava lebiyadeh. Anything that I had in my hands, all the money that I had, I already paid you. So the lender is standing there. He's like, "What is this guy talking about? He gave me his cane, and now he's swearing that he already paid me. What is he saying?" So what happens? Ha'u malver ragaz v'tabara le'ahu kanya. So that the guy, the lender, he went and took it and he broke the cane. And afterwards, what did he see? He found coins. V'ishteva chanu zuzei. He found the coins inside. Le'ara, and they fell on the ground. V'ishtekach de'kushta ishteva. And he found out that this guy was really telling the truth. He was doing it in a way that the guy didn't know, but he was really telling the truth that he paid the person. But what do we see? V'akati lo avid de'mishta. Okay, so what was the point of all of this? So this whole thing was coming to exclude that type of case. Right? That's what it was coming to go against, excluding that type of case. Meaning to say that that case is not included in this example. Right, the Mefarash says the zuzei mamash yahav. In that case, he actually gave the person money. It just happened to be in the cane. Ubaele miftar behachi uveshar milei lo avidinish demishva adatad nafshe. Only in that type of thing, a person swears according to his own understanding. That type of example, the guy swore, "I already paid you." The other person, the lender, doesn't know that you already paid him. But that type of swear, he knows. That's the type of swear that people do make according to their own understanding. But in general, a person would not make a swear that he only understands only according to his understanding. So the Gemara then asks again. V'akati lo avid demishtava adatan nafshei. A person would not swear according to his own understanding. V'hatanya, we have a braita. V'chen matzino v'Moshe Rabbeinu. We saw this with Moshe Rabbeinu. Kesheishbiat Yisrael be'arvot Moav, when he made the Jewish people swear in Arvot Moav to keep the Torah. Amar lahem, he said to them, Havu yodim shelo al da'atchem ani mashbia etchem. It's not on your mindset, on your knowledge, on your understanding that I'm making you swear. Ela al da'ati, it's on my knowledge. Ve'al da'at ha'makom, and on the knowledge and understanding of the Torah. Shene'emar ve'lo itechem levaddechem. It's not you, it's on the Torah that I'm making you swear. So the Gemara says, Ma'y amar lehu Moshe le'Yisrael? What did Moshe tell the Jewish people? Lav hachika amar lehu. Is this not what he told the Jewish people? Dilma avitun milei ve'amritun al da'atenu. Maybe you're going to do things and you're going to violate the Torah and you're going to say it's on our understanding. We swore on our understanding of what it meant to keep it. You do things you think is keeping and it's not really keeping it. It sounds very familiar. We have many people who think they're keeping but they're not really keeping and they rationalize. You're going to do the same thing if you swear on your own understanding. So Mishum Hachi, that's why it says Amar Lehu, he told the Jewish people Al Da'ati, on my knowledge. La Apuke Mai, what is that coming to exclude? Lav la apuke, is it not coming to exclude the following? The asiku shema lavadat kochavim, Eloha. That they you can call avodah zara God, essentially. Maybe it was coming to exclude such a case as that. Maybe that's what is coming to include. So the Gemara infers from that, Michlal David inish to mishtabah adata denavshei. Maybe we can infer from that that some people do swear according to their own understanding. Meaning from the fact that we said it was coming to exclude them from giving the name of God to an Avodah Zarah, because sometimes we see references in Tanakh of God being referenced to Avodah Zarah. So maybe it was coming to exclude that case. So that's coming to imply that some people do swear based on their own understanding that this means that, even though that's not the common understanding of what the words mean. So the Gemara says, lo, people don't swear on their own understanding. Avodat kochavim ikre eloha. Avodah Zarah is called God in some sense. How do we know? Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Uchol Elohim Mitzrayim. It says in the Pasuk, all of the gods of Mitzrayim, in all of the gods of Egypt. Meaning, it sometimes calls them gods of Egypt to reference to how you perceive them. Not necessarily that they're real gods, rather to how you perceive them, how the Goyim perceive them, or the people who are sinning are perceived. So the Gemara says, now goes back and forth on what Moshe Rabbeinu should have told the Jewish people. V'lishba yaton dekem mekayim maitun. Mitzvot. Why didn't he just make them swear that they'll fulfill the mitzvot? So the Gemara says, "Mashma mitzvot hamelech," because mitzvot commandments, we would have thought it meant you're commanded to keep the commandments of the king. That's not the commandments of God. So I would have thought it's talking about the king, not God. So the Gemara says, "Vilishba yaton mekayim matun kol mitzvot." Why don't he make them swear that they have to fulfill all commandments, no matter what? So mashma mitzvot tzitzit. I would have thought that's referring to the mitzvah of tzitzit. How do we know that all commandments are referred to as tzitzit? Da'amar mor, as Master says, shekula mitzvah tzitzit keneged kol ha-mitzvot sheba Torah. The mitzvah of tzitzit is equivalent to all of the mitzvot in the Torah. So that's how we would have thought it's talking about the mitzvah of tzitzit. V'lishba yatun mekaymaitun Torah. And why didn't he just tell them, you have to fulfill the Torah? That was the musar he should have told the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, mashma Torah achat. I would have thought it's only talking about one Torah. But we have two Torahs. How do we have two Torahs? This is the source, by the way, in the Gemara, that we have two Torahs. Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not only the oral Torah, it's also the written Torah. So they would have only kept one if he said Torah. So what's the next question? Why didn't he ask them to keep two Torahs? V'lishva yaton mekaymatun Torot. Why didn't he just tell the Jewish people, you have to fulfill two Torahs, both Torahs? So the Gemara says, mashma Torat mincha, Torat chatat, Torat asham. I would have thought that's referring to the offerings. The Torah, the laws of mincha offering, the laws of chatat, the sin offering, the hasham offering. So that's why I didn't say that. V'lishba yatun mekaymatun torot u'mitzvot. Why didn't he command the Jewish people that they have to fulfill the Torahs and the mitzvot and the commandments? Which would have meant, obviously, the Torah and mitzvot that we have. So the Gemara says, torot mashma, torat ha-mincha. The torot is referring to the torat ha-mincha that we just referenced to, the korbanot. Mitzvot mashma, mitzvot ha-melech. And commandments is referring to the commandments of the king. So they would have understood it, not referring to the actual Torah that we have. So that's why he didn't word it like that. V'lishba yaton mekaymatun Torah kula. Why didn't he just tell them to keep the whole Torah? There's no way they could have misinterpreted that. So the Gemara says, Torah kula mashma avodah kochavim. Torah kula, the whole Torah, is referencing against avodah zarah. How do we know that? The Tanya. Chamura avodat kochavim. Avodat kochavim is avodah zarah is so bad. Shekola koferba keilo modeba Torah kula. Anyone who goes against avodah zarah, it's as if he's agreeing, he's admitting to the whole Torah. Meaning they would have thought that if he would have said, fulfill the whole Torah, that just means don't keep, do Avodah Zarah. But still they wouldn't have known that they have to keep the Torah. So the Gemara asks again, V'lishba yaton demekaymaitun avodat kochavim Sorry, I skipped on that. No, good. V'lishba yaton demekaymaitun avodat kochavim V'torah kula. Why didn't he just command them that they have to fulfill going against Avodah Zarah and for the whole Torah altogether? So you can't misinterpret that altogether. And that's right, that's a question. Or Iname, or maybe another question. Shesh me'ot v'shloshetzere mitzvot. Why didn't you just tell them you have to keep 613 commandments? Tell them direct. Right? How did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? What did we see? What did he say? Let's go back. What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? Yeah, he says, Havi yodim shalo adatchem ani mashpe etchem ela adera, huh? He says, ve'adat ha-makom v'lo itchem levadechem. So he says, Ma'a marlo v'moshe l'Yisrael? Is it not the following? That you have to keep fulfill on our knowledge. Al da'atenu. Why did he word it like that? Why didn't he just say keep the 613 mitzvot? So the Gemara says, Ela Moshe Rabbeinu milta delo tricha nakat. Moshe was just teaching something easy to understand. He wasn't trying to make it difficult for them, right? The Mefaresh explains, what does that mean? He says, Kishe amar al da'at amakom va al da'ati shesham nichlal hakol. Do it on my mindset and on the God's mindset, on God's understanding. That includes everything. He didn't have to say 613, the whole Torah kula, da-da-da-da-da. He just said, do it on God's understanding of what everything is. So therefore, he didn't want to go so much in depth. Take it simple, exactly. Very good. So that was all that. Okay, very good. Then we said, "Im lo ra'iti nachash korat beit habad." If he says, "If I didn't see a snake like the size of a beam that they used to crush the olives with," he says, "This is a neder." He says, "Velo, is that something so exaggerated? That's something we've never seen before." Veha hahu chivya, there was a snake. Dehava b'shnei shvur malka, who lived in the times of shvur malka.
Shapur.
Yeah. Ramu leit leisar aravta de tivna. They placed him for this snake 13. How do they call it in English? How do they say it in English? The hay bins, or what do they call it?
Stables,
thank you. I forgot the English word. Stables of hay, 13 stables filled with hay. Vibala, and he ate all of them, yaton. So, obviously he's exaggerated, but he's trying to say that there was a snake that was very, very big. So, Amar Shimuel bitaruf. What are we talking about? There's different explanations what taruf is, but one says rigid, it was rigid. Another explanation is based on the Ran that says it was flat. It was like had a flat part to it. So the Gemara says, "Kula nachashe mitraf tarfe." All snakes are rigid. Let's go with that perush. All snakes have rigid parts to it. So what are you saying? So the Gemara says, "Agavo taruf ka amrinan." We're talking about on its back. It was rigid on the back. So the Gemara says, "Velitne taruf." Why didn't it just teach in the Mishnah? He saw this snake that was so large and it was rigid on the back. Why didn't it just say that in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Milta agav orche kamashmalan." It was coming to teach us something on the way. Dekorat beit habad gavo taruf. The beam that they used to crush the olives with was rigid on its back. Lemay nafkamina, who cares? What's the big deal? Why is that so important? So the Gemara says, "Lemekachu memkar." It's so important because of business. Lomar lach, to coming to tell you, hamocher korat beit habad, if somebody sells a beam of the olive press, the chaverot to his friend, I gavo taruf in, if the back of it is rigid, then yes, that is considered the beam. Ve'i lo, but if it's not considered rigid, then that's a mekach ta'ut. And you can go back and say, this is not what you promised me. So it's for the regards of business that this Mishnah was stated. Okay, very good. Flipping the Amud, we're starting a new Mishnah. Meaning it's a neder neder havai. Right, exactly. New Mishnah. Nidrei shigagot. Then we talked about something called neder of shigagot. Mistaken. What does that mean? Im achalti. Somebody says, the Mefarash says, amar konam. If he says konam, he takes a neder if I ate this. Or v'im shatiti, or I drank this. V'niskar she'achal v'shata. And then he remembers, I ate this, or I drank this. And then he says, Sha'ani ochel v'sha'ani shote. He says something that I'll eat or something that I drink today. I eat or drink today. He says v'shachach v'achal v'shata. And he forgot and he ate or he drank that item. Or amar konam ishtin henedli. Or he says his wife takes a neder that she can't benefit from him because what? She ganvat kisi. She stole my money. She stole my wallet. V'she hiketat b'ni. Or she hit my son. And he found out that it wasn't true. She didn't hit his son, and she didn't steal his wallet. It's interesting why the Mishnah. I'll ask the question after. Ra'a otan ochelin te'anim, or he sees a group of people eating figs. Ve'amar, and he says, "Hare alechem korban. These should be upon you as a korban." Ve'nimtzu aviv ve'achiv, and he finds out that one of them was his father and one of them was his brother. There were other people there with him. So Beit Shammai says in that case, hen mutarim, the father and the brother are permitted from the neder. Umasha imahem, it should be umisha imahem, there's another girsa. Umisha imahem asurim. And those who are with him, the other people, are forbidden the benefit. Ubeit Hillel omrim and Beit Hillel say, elu ve'elu mutarim, both the father and the brother and the other people there are all permitted. Why? What's that machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? So the Mefaresh explains is something that's considered the klal of Rabbi Akiva. We're going to see, and it's really the basis of tomorrow's daf that you need to remember, that neder shehutar miktzato, hutar kulo. If you have a neder, that part of it became permitted, the whole neder becomes permitted. That's l'shitat Beit Hillel. But Beit Shammai says, no, a neder that's partially permitted, it's not completely permitted. Over here in this case, the guy took a neder, these people don't benefit from him. And then he finds out one of them is his father and a brother. He wouldn't have taken a neder if it was father and the brother. So no, he would have taken the neder, but he would have said, all of you except for my father and brother. So then, what's the deen? So therefore, Beit Hillel would say, no, everyone's permitted. And Beit Shammai would say, no, only the father and brother permitted. But I had an interesting question, which I can leave you with, is that in the Mishnah, we said a case of a neder that he takes against his wife. He says, if because she stole from me or she hit my son. And then he says he found out that she didn't hit my son and she didn't steal from me. It switches the order around. Why does it switch the order in the Mishnah? It's an interesting question on the Mishnah.
The word,
we're going to keep the question at the end. It could be that it was a son from a previous wife.
Oh.
Okay, let's get to the Gemara. The Gemara then says, Tana, Keshem shenidresh gagod mutarin, just like neders mistakenly are permitted, it's not a neder, kach shevuot shegagod mutarot, so too, swears of shegagot, of these mistaken, unwitting things, are permitted. So the Gemara says, hechi dameh shevuot shegagot, what is considered a swear, an oath, mistakenly. So kigon rav kahana rav ase, like the story of rav kahana and rav ase. Hadin amar shvuata dehachi amar rav. One of them says a swear that this is what Rav said. Vahadin amar shvuata. Sorry, I skipped the letter. Shvuata dehachi amar rav. That this is what Rav said. Vahadin amar shvuata. And the other one says, no, I'm taking a swear. Dehachi amar rav. This is what Rav said. Each one of them are saying something different that Rav said. Dekolchad vechad adata denavshei shapir kemishtava. Each one of them is taking a swear, and their swear is based on their own understanding of what Rav said. So therefore, both of their swears is what they thought Rav said. And so therefore, their swears does not make anything asur to them, because it could be that either of them, it's called a shavuot shegagah. That's what a shavuot shegagah is, a swear falsely. We still have time? We can keep going? Anyone's in a rush? We'll keep going. Okay. Then we said, ra'a otan ochelin. If we said, if you see the family, you see these people, a group of people eating figs, and he takes a swear, he takes a neder against them, and then he finds out that some of them are his father and brother. Everyone who's going to be on the daf tomorrow, pay attention right now, because these next amud, until we get to the next amud, is very, very important for tomorrow's daf. And if you're not completely grab what these next 10 lines are, then tomorrow's daf is going to be 10 times harder. So pay a lot of attention. Hayu omrim. Sorry, I skipped a line. Tanan hatam. It was taught over there in the Mishnah. Where is over there? It's later on in the Masechet. Andav samech vav amud alef. Potchin b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim. What does that mean? They open up neders on Shabbatot v'yamim tovim. What is it talking about? The Mefaresh explains, if somebody takes a neder not to eat all year long, so how do we open up his neder? We go to him and we say, hello, you really took a neder not to eat on Shabbat and Yom Tov? So that's what the Mefaresh says. It says, did you want to take a neder to fast on Shabbat and Yom Tov? So he says, obviously not. So we can open it up by doing like that. So the Gemara says, we open up his neder asking about Shabbat and Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, Barishona, at first, Hayu Omrim, they used to say, Otan Hayamim Mutarin, those days are permitted. Vishar Kol Hayamim Asurim, but all other days besides your Shabbat and Yom Tov are forbidden to eat. Ad Sheba Rabbi Akiva V'limed, until Rabbi Akiva came and taught us, Neder Shehutar Miktzato, a neder that partially was permitted, Hutar Kulo, was completely permitted. This is what I was talking about, Rabbi Akiva Shita, which we're going to need for tomorrow's daf. It's very, very important, Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabba. Now we're going to have a very, very important machloket of Rabba and Ravva, and we're going to need this for tomorrow's daf. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, the machloket that we had in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, just to go over it again, to make it very clear, Beit Shammai says that it's possible that part of the neder can be permitted and the other part is not. Beit Hillel says, Hutar miksato, hutar kulo, yolzak Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabba, Rabba comes and says, Dekule Alma, everybody agrees, in any situation, the Amar, if he says, Ilu hayiti yodea, if I would have known she'abba ben nechem, that my father is amongst you, hayiti omer, I would have said the following. Listen to the words very carefully. Kulechem asurin, all of you are asur to benefit, chutz me'abba, except for my father. And what would we have said? Rabbah says, everyone agrees in that case, de kulhun asurin, that everyone is asur, ve'aviv mutar, but his father is permitted. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would agree if that's what he would have changed his words to say. Lo nechleku, what's the machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Ela be'omer, in a case that he says, ilu hayiti yodea she'abba menechem, if I knew that my father was with you, hayiti omer, I would have said different. Ploni uploni asurin, these specific people are asur, ve'abba mutar, and abba is permitted. It's different than what we just said. It's not kulechem, it's ploni and ploni. So the Gemara, that's the opinion of Rabbah, that he says over there, that's where the machloket comes in between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. That Beit Hillel would say, everybody is permitted, and Beit Shammai would say, no, only the father I don't know why it doesn't mention the son, the brother, but the brother would also be included in here, the brother would be permitted. That's Rabbah.
Or brother.
Rabbah. Huh?
Maybe
father or brother. Nachon.
Nachon.
No, in the first case, he said kulechem, except for my father. So then everyone agrees that everyone's asur except for the father. In the case where he says specifically, these people are asur except for the father, but my father is permitted. So then Beit Hillel would say everyone's permitted. And Beit Shammai says only those who are forbidden are forbidden and the father is permitted.
Well, why is it the same thing?
It's not the same thing. It's different because he's saying general, everyone versus specific. If he's saying specific, I'll explain to you why it's different. Listen to it like this. If I made a neder and I said that everybody here is asur ba'ana'a.
Except.
I said everyone. And then I said, my father is here. If I had known my father was here, I would have said everyone except for my father. So then what would we say? It's everyone except for the father. But if I would have taken a neder against everyone, and then I saw my father, and I said, if I would have known my father was here, I would have said, not everyone, just a few of you. And not my father. Or you, and not my father. What would that change? I'm changing the neder altogether. At first, I made a neder of everyone. The first part, I said, kullechem, included everyone. Now, I'm saying specific people. You can't change that. Once you said everyone, if now you're altering it, now you're saying, I that was a neder b'ta'ut, that was a mistaken neder, it doesn't count. So now, according to Beit Hillel, that neder would be annulled, and that neder, and everyone is permitted. According to Beit Shammai, you're right. Beit Shammai says those specific people. Let's see Rava's opinion. I want to do it together. It's very important. Flipping the Amud, ve'rava amar, Rava says, de kule alma, everybody agrees, kol hecha de amar. In any situation that a person says, ilu hayiti yodea, if I would have known she'aba benechem, that my father was amongst you when I made the neder, hayiti omer, I would have said the following, ploni uploni asurin, I would have said the opposite case of Rabbah. You and you are asur, ve'aba mutar, and my father is permitted. What does everyone agree over there? Kulam mutarin. Everybody agrees over there, it's permitted. He goes on the opposite extreme as Rabbah. I'll explain. I'll explain. I don't want to stop in the middle of the line. Lo nechleku, where is the machloket? Ela be'omer, in a case where we say, where the guy says, ilu hayiti yodeh, if I would have known, she'aba benechem, that my father is amongst you, hayiti omer, I would have said, kullechem asurin, all of you are asur, chutz me'aba, except for father. That's where Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue. Beit Shammai savri, Beit Shammai holds, savri la kev Rebbi Meir, hold like Rebbi Meir, we're going to need for tomorrow's daf. De'amar tefos lashon rishon. Then Rabbi Meir holds, you grab the first lashon, the first words that he said. What did he say first? Kulam asurin. Everyone is asur. So he holds that everyone stays asur except for the father. Beit Hillel savri. Beit Hillel says, Rabbi Yose, like Rabbi Yossi, de'amar bigmar dvarav adam nitfas. That we grab the person's end words. If he says, chutz, he changes his wording, chutz me this person, chutz me that person, so then he changes his wording, and therefore we go on the end, and now Beit Hillel would view everyone as permitted. Now why is it, so what's the difference between Rabbah and Rava? Rava says that the first case, everyone agrees, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel both agree that if he said, if I would have known that my father was here, I would have said, you are asur, and my father is in the mutar. That case, everyone agrees, everyone's permitted. Why? Let's look at the Mefaresh. The first Mefaresh on the page. The kule alma lo nechleku ela be'omer techila bichlal. Hareze alechem korban. If he said it in general, this is upon you as a korban. Veshuv amar ilu haiti yodea. If I would have known she'aba benechem, haiti omer ploni oploni asurin. Ve'abo mutar. Ho ilu vasof piretan. Since at the end he detailed, he said specific, afilo Beit Shammai mondu, even Beit Shammai would agree, techai gavna. In that case, ho ilu vehutar miktzato. Since part, this is also the answer to the previous lesson of Rabbah, since part of what he made a neder on is permitted, so the whole thing would be permitted. So Beit Shammai in this case would even agree, since he specified that my father will be, since I specified, you are asur, and my father is permitted, he specified in the second case, so that's why Beit Shammai would agree to Beit Hillel, according to Rabbah, that everyone is permitted. Whereas if he would have said the general case and he didn't specify, except for my father, then the Beit Shammai would say everyone except for the father is asur, and Beit Hillel would say everyone is permitted. Okay, we're going to stop there for today. We're going to do a quick 1 minute recap on the daf. We started on the Amud Bet, on Kaftal Amud Bet. We got into the idea of a person would not make a swear on his own understanding. We gave a few exceptions to the rule, but we said that was the general rule. Then we got into the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is back and forth the Jewish people. Why didn't he ask and all those type of different ways? And we answered by saying, he took the simple route, and I think that's a very beautiful advice for all of us. Always take the simple route when you're trying to teach, not try to confuse people and do too difficult for them. Then we got to the Amud Bet. We started talking about Nidrei Shegago, neders that were taken, person made a mistake, right? And he ate, or he drank, or he did different things, or he took and the big case, which is pretty much the remainder of the daf, was if he took a neder against a group of people, and his father was amongst them. And then he found out the father was there. So we had a huge machloket between Rabbah and Rava, how to understand the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Whereas, and the general rule of the daf is that if we hold like Beit Hillel, we say like Rabbi Akiva, that if the neder is partially permitted, the whole neder is permitted. Whereas Beit Shammai says, no, partially neder could be permitted, but the rest of the neder would not be permitted. We're going to use that for tomorrow's daf. It's very important. And B'zad Hashem, I hope that we can go over Rabbah and Rava tomorrow for the remainder of tomorrow's daf. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen ve'amen.